This is Racing HQ on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio. Plenty of news around heading towards Saturday. We'll focus in on the Group 1 Memsie as the show goes on, but right now, let's turn to our Run to the Rose out at Rose Hill on the weekend, and Ty England joins us first up. Morning to you, Ty.
Morning, Andrew.
Looking forward to getting back, I reckon, aboard one horse on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, we got to win a Group 1 with him last prep, and as a two-year-old, and hopefully he comes up as a nice early three-year-old.
We talk, of course, of a press statement. So I know you don't ride the horse a lot in track work, but just how do you feel he's changed from his two-year-old career back in Brisbane?
Because he was a late two-year-old, he was still quite big, but he's just muscled up in behind, etc., and his mannerism is... he's a real professional. He doesn't get too hot, or he doesn't work himself up being a colt. So that's a big plus for him. And yeah, his attitude during a race, when you give him a squeeze, he'll respond. And as soon as you ask him to come back underneath you, he does that as well. So he doesn't over-race, and he's got a lot of positives about him, this horse.
I guess off his two trials that we've seen now, Chris Waller doesn't really like his horses stretched out too much there. They're a part of the build-up to it all. But those two trials, did this colt give you that feeling that he's come back the way you enjoyed him in Brisbane?
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, we don't do too much on Chris's horses. You know, he likes to take his time and, you know, get them fit through their track work, and then obviously get the last little bit out of them before they go to the races in the trials. And once Chris's horses get to the races, they probably take one run, and then you know, they're probably at their top fitness, and they can hold that for a number of starts. So, you know, this horse will be a bit vulnerable first up against some pretty smart horses that have been racing. So our grand final is looking at the Run to the Rose. So as long as he's running obviously we would all love him to win,
yeah,
no doubt. But, you know, if he doesn't win and he's finishing off strong, he's doing it all at the right end, we're still going to go come out of the race quite happy.
Yeah, it's interesting, the winter form, now that we've had that 25 mil overnight, and who knows for the rest of the week, Ty, that, you know, these horses like Japanese Me have got the residual winter-type fitness, haven't they?
Yeah, definitely, and that's obviously a big plus in their favour. But we've won on a soft track before, and yeah, like I say, my only concern is would be first up against the horses that are rock hard fit, and once you're racing on a rain effect track, that just makes it that little bit harder. But you know, these smart horses can overcome that, and we saw Vancouver, he got beat the other week, but you know, they went very quick early, and he's a horse which is probably similar to my fella, that the further he gets, you know, 14 to a mile, he's definitely going to play into their favours.
Yeah, understand. No, I think we all can't wait to see them back, but we've got to realise too that they're not machines. Chris Waller's got some big plans ahead, particularly in Melbourne, so he can't be wound up 100% first up. He's got to build himself to that stage.
No, that's right, and that's why Chris is, you know,
the best.
Trains the way he does. He gets the best out of his horses, and he gets into the races fit, they're ready to win, but they can hold a number of starts, where some trainers sort of like to come in hard and get the first couple of wins on the board, and, you know, them horses sort of flatten out and die off late, where Chris can hold his horses at the top for a number of starts.
Looking forward to seeing a press statement on Saturday. Are you back on Silver Ball? Have you been on this horse, actually?
I rode him in Hong Kong.
Hong Kong, yeah, I thought it was...
Yeah, I rode him in Hong Kong. I'd done a lot of work with him early with Derek Cruz, and the way he was getting in the bigger races, I couldn't ride him, so Richard Furey took over there, and you know, he had a stable change late. He went to Tony Millard, and I ran third on him one day there, but obviously since he's come here, he's definitely improved even more. Chris has got the best out of him, and he won second up last prep, so, you know, I think he's definitely, in this race, he's a super chance.
Yeah, he might be seven, but he's still reasonably lightly raced, only had the 20-odd starts.
Yeah, exactly, and we saw what he done in his last run last prep. He was so dominant. Chris Chris has obviously got a big rap for him, and I reckon he'll be taking him to some bigger and better races this prep.
Yeah, he's there on Saturday. Fire, Silver Ball and Press Tape and a couple of your main ones. You've lost both of them today at Gosford. You got a day off now?
Yeah, I got a day off. Unfortunately, the wet weather come through and wiped me out, so I'll have to take advantage of a little bit of quiet family time today.
No, you have an easy day, and we look forward to seeing you tomorrow at Warwick Farm. Thanks for your time, Ty, and good luck on Saturday.
Thank you very much, mate.
Ty England joining us there. Press Statement, Silver Ball, a couple of the main rides for Ty England. Of course, the Run to the Roses, the feature. Interesting nomination for Victorian trainer Tony Noonan with Mr. Optimistic. He's online. Tony, good morning.
Morning, Andrew. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Good to talk to you, mate. You sent this horse, ran a couple of times earlier this year, and then you've obviously kept Mr. Optimistic up in Queensland.
Yes, if you'd spent the winter in Melbourne, Andrew, you could see why I did that, because it's been bloody cold here and the weather's been super up there. And the horse, he's a backward sort of three-year-old, and the winter up there definitely did him the world of good.
So, up against horses that I was just talking to Ty, Press Statement comes back, a Group 1 winner. We've got Japanese, who's in terrific form, and a couple of others. What's the expectation on this colt Saturday?
Oh, look, it's a bit of look and see, Andrew, to be honest. You know, obviously those horses are up and going and in form, probably got it on him a little bit, but he's a nice horse. He had lightly raced. His last run there in a stakes race at Caloundra was very good. He was terribly unlucky not to win that. He's a progressive sort of horse, but whether he's right up to this company right at this point in time, time will tell. But it's a nice race for him to kick off in, and if he happens to perform terribly well, there's a good option in a fortnight's time.
Exactly. He's only raced four times, but in most of them there was only that one run at Flemington. But in all other runs, Mr. Optimistic's been around the mark there somewhere. He's a trier.
Oh, yeah, look, he's still learning his craft to a degree in those races. You know, the race that he didn't run into the money was in the sire. So, and he was probably ridden a little bit upside down that day. But I know he's pleased us. That's what warranted a trip to Queensland. I felt that he was a nice horse in the making, and we sent him up there to have a couple of runs and then to winter up there, and he's done most of his prep work up there. So, he wouldn't be predicting that he's going to beat those horses that are up and going at the moment. But, at the same time, I'd expect him to run very well.
I know Josh Parr's going to take the ride on Saturday, which is good for Josh. Is the horse still up north, or has he made his way to Sydney?
No, he's at Warwick Farm at the moment with Todd Rowella.
Yep.
So Toddy's looking after him. And, he travelled down at the end of last week and settled in good. And we'll do a little bit of work with him in the morning, and that'll have him right for Saturday.
Good news. All right, that's Mr. Optimistic. You've got one in at Pakenham on the all-weather track today in the opening race, Monet's Fiddler.
Yeah, look, his first preparation, he's done everything right at home, trialled nicely. These maiden, three-year-old maidens at this time of the year are pretty tough sort of events to kick off in, but he's had a little spin at the synthetic. He trialled there a week ago and trialled nicely, so not that he's wound right up, but I think his natural ability will take him a fair way today.
Righto, that's race one, number two. Good on you, Tony. Good to talk to you, mate, and good luck with Mr. Optimistic.
Thanks, Andrew.
Good on you, Tony Noonan from his Mornington base. Three-year-old colt. As I say, it's only had the four starts. Its win was at the Gold Coast back in April, and since then it ran third in that Hampden, the listed race at the Sun Coast in mid-May behind Real Good. Hand Fast ran second, and Mr. Optimistic ran third, beaten less than a length. It's had one trial, and it's out at Warwick Farm, so we're looking forward to that. Now, at 23 after 9, Gary McQuillan, I think, is online now from the Tuncurry Racing Club. A big special day on Saturday. They've waited about 35 years for this, but it's their first TAB program. Gary, it's been a long time in the wind, mate, but you've made it there on Saturday.
Yeah, it's fantastic, Andrew. It's a lot of hard work and a lot of volunteers putting their shoulders the wheel, and it really has paid off, and I know it's just going to keep going forward because it is a magnificent track, the Tuncurry Foster.
I know people can go on Google and have a look at it. It's got that magnificent lake in the middle, and you've done a lot of work over such a long time to make it into what you're going to see there on Saturday.
Yes, mate, yes, and it's only going forward every time we make another dollar, we put it straight into the track, and we've just spent $20,000 on a warm-up ring between our tie-ups, you know, and it's just absolutely phenomenal. And it's all done by volunteers, you know, no more, no less. No. The only one person we pay is our curator, and he does a great job too.
Yeah, volunteers are a part of country racing for sure. So, TAP program on Saturday, the area must be a buzz, the Tuncurry Foster area, for people to get out there. You must have planned so much for them.
Oh, mate, it is fantastic. The town is so much behind us. About 10 or 12 years ago, I remember Brian Judd talking to the community at the Tuncurry Beach Bowling Club saying, if you want this to work, you have to get the town behind you, you know?
Yeah.
And then about 2 years later, I decided with a couple of my mates to take this job on. And this April, it's 10 years since we've taken the job on, and we've gone from Racing New South Wales telling me, boys, you've got 6 months to get on track, and the town behind you, we're closing it, you know? And look, it's just a phenomenal thing, and it really makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up when you see. I've just driven in the track now. It looks magnificent. Here's all my potholers after track work this morning, filling up the potholes. I've got one chap there's been doing the same job for 20 years, and a woman who's been doing it for 15 years, you know.
Yeah.
They're just magnificent, men. They really are.
Yeah, volunteers for sure. Okay, so how many races do you hope to have there on Saturday, Gary?
Well, I've spoken to Drew Smith about this, and he's coming to see me this afternoon at 2 o'clock. We've got 103 noms for six races at the moment, Andrew. So if we can split one, and that's up to, obviously, Drew Smith, and I'll be guided by him 100%.
Yeah.
But there's a possibility of seven, but if it's only six, that's fine. Whatever it is, it'll be a roaring success. We'll make it work 100%, people.
Now, we're going to do something on Tuncurry each morning here on Racing HQ to let people know all about it. The main things for the locals around the area that you've got, the gates opening quite early, around 11. There's lots of free buses that people can jump on as well, Gary?
Certainly. We run free buses from as far as Wingham, into Taree, into Blackhead, and to the track, and then all day running from the Tuncurry Foster area, starting at 11 o'clock. The buses just continually run all day, bringing people in and out from the track and back to town. Yeah.
Yeah, look, it's fantastic, just the build-up to it all. I've spoken with you and other people along the road here that I've been doing this show, and to now sense that you're only days from your TAB meeting, all should be congratulated. It should be emphasised that you've got two meetings this Saturday and then another one on the 12th of September.
Yeah, the 12th of September. It's a great race day. We've had it for a few years now, Andrew. We call it Shake Off the Winter Blues, and it's a great turnout, and everyone loves it. After that, we have our January meeting, which is our seafood race meeting. And that's enormous, the seafood race day. Last year, we sold 200 dozen of Barclays oysters and the co-op cooked fish. And look, everything's a bit of a theme, and the people just love coming to the Tuncurry track.
Yep.
Especially people not only in town, from abroad. You know, we get a lot of people from Newcastle and up Copps Harbour way coming down. It really is becoming a real draw card, what we're doing here, Andrew. They just love it.
Mate, as I say, we're going to cover off on different things of Tuncurry right through this week on Racing HQ. We'll talk to you before we get there on Saturday. Thanks for your time this morning, mate.
Good on you, mate. I just call it coastal country racing at its best. That's the Tuncurry Foster track, mate.
I was going to finish it off. Coastal country racing at its best is the logo. If you live in the area, make sure you do something on Saturday, and that's go to Tuncurry for the races. Good on you, mate.
Thanks, Andrew. Bye now.
Gary McQuillan there, arriving at the track. And you can go on Google, and there's videos of the track and things like that. It's a TAB program. Anthony Collins has already been down there in the last little while and tested out the gear and all that sort of stuff, and his vantage point. Now, I know Anthony is very much looking forward to it. It's the first TAB program. It comes up at Tuncurry on Saturday, and then the Spring Fling race meeting is on Saturday, 12th of September. Let's move to Melbourne now, and on Saturday we've got the running of the Group 1 Memsey. Yesterday there were 26 entries. for the race. They can run 16. So at this stage, 9 or 10 obviously aren't going to run. Michael Rodd is coming back to ride in the race, and he joins us from Singapore. Mike, thanks, mate. I know I'm running a few minutes late, but thanks for squeezing us in.
Always got time for you, Andrew. How are you?
Very well, mate. It's good to talk to you. It's been a long time since we've done it, mate. A big thrill for us back here in the Oz to see you in Melbourne on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to coming back. It's a great opportunity to, sort of the kicking off point for the Spring Carnival with the Memphis Stakes on, and it's good just to put my name back out there and show that I'm keen to come back if the opportunities arise.
Yeah, I was talking to your manager back here, Johnny Shell, on the weekend. You're keen to come back and ride during the carnival for sure. Is there a placement by the Singapore club that it has to be a Group 1, or isn't that the case?
No, it's not the case. You just got to get a clearance from the club. I think it's got to be a group race. It doesn't have to be a Group 1 race. So they're pretty flexible here. And as long as you don't miss a meeting, so we race on the Friday night and the Sunday. So as long as we're, I'm here for both those meetings, I'm free to come back and ride.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, you've got a strong book, mate. Rising Romance, now they're going to run in the Memsie. Bold Sniper, you're riding for the Queen in a 1,700-metre race. You've got Mr. Individual, Vezelay as well, a good mare for Corstens. You've really got a strong book on paper.
Yeah, look, I'm not sure about Bold Sniper at the moment. I think that's pending Damien Main.
Okay, righto.
Look, that'd be obviously a great pickup. But, yeah, we've got some really nice rides there. Rising Romance, obviously, she's a very talented mare, winning the Oaks up in Sydney and second in the Derby in New Zealand, and also running second in the Caulfield Cup. So, she's been transferred to David Hayes, and it'd be interesting to have a feel of her. And, yeah, two really nice horses for Brad Spicer and Leon and Troy Corston. So, looking forward to that. Hopefully I can get a winner up.
You would have seen Vezelay. I think most of us can't wait to see this horse again for Team Corston's Leon and Troy. Looks to be pretty special.
Yeah, she's a filly I've had a fair bit to do with. I did a fair bit of her early education, and I won a maiden on her up at Seymour last year. So I know a fair bit about her. She was very good first up for Ollie. He just went to the front and controlled the race, but just really liked the way she quickened up. So she's really well bred. Hopefully she can get over a little bit more ground. It's going to be very exciting.
Yeah, it will be for sure. Mate, you must be thrilled with the way it's gone in Singapore.
It's been great, Andrew. I came over here with a real open mind. I wasn't sure. I was confident I'd ride winners, but I wasn't confident how many rides I'd get. Just with the weight scale, the minimum here is 50 kilos. So I was very worried that I wouldn't get too many rides, but it's been fantastic. I've had a lot of support from Laurie Laxon, Cliff Brown, Bruce Marsh. Mark Walker's been quite good as well. So, yeah, it's been really good. I've learned a lot since I've been here, and, life's good.
You're sitting third on the premiership behind Corey and the local star as well. They have 57 wins, 56 placing, or 56 seconds and 52nd third. You're around the mark, mate. We always see you in the finish there somewhere.
Yeah, it's really enjoyable, Andrew. It's a small pool of horses, so it was pretty easy to pick up the form, and they all pretty much have a race, a level that they're at. So if a horse, say if he's a class 4 horse, very rarely they'll go up and win a class 3 unless they're real, unless they're really going through the grade. So yeah, the form was easy to pick up, and you're just at the one track also. So it's been really enjoyable.
And what's happening for next year?
Yeah, we'll find out probably closer to November. I think they'll release next year. I'll definitely reapply. I'd love to stay over here again for next season. I've enjoyed it this year, so there's no reason why I won't stop.
No, I understand. Well, mate, we're looking forward to seeing your talents. We'll see them on Friday night on the tally, but we're looking forward to seeing you at Caulfield on the weekend. Thanks for squeezing us in between track work. Is it humid there?
Yeah, really hot, Andrew. I struggle a bit with the heat. I enjoy it, but yeah, on the Sundays it gets really tough on race day. But yeah, you got to get used to it.
Yeah, you sure do in Singapore, mate. We'll see you on the weekend.
Thanks, Andrew. Fantastic. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Michael. Michael Rodd joining us there from Singapore. Coming back to ride the likes of Rising Romance and Vezelay. Bold Sniper, yeah, Damien Lane's got an inquiry tomorrow, an appeal hearing, so we'll wait and see who ends up riding there. Well, Magic Cool is resuming, I think, in the Memsie, the Group 1 at Caulfield, trained by Mark Cavanagh, who joins us from his Flemington base. Morning to you, Cav.
Morning, Andrew.
Good to talk to you. Excited about this horse. I guess they've got to take that three-year-old into four-year-old step, but how's he coming back?
Oh, look, he's come back all right. He, you know, you would think he would need it a bit longer on Saturday, and, you know, he's still a little bit round, and he's taking a bit of improvement out of it.
As I said to Ty England earlier, they're not machines, mate. You've got to get them, you want them there at the peak time come sort of October, November.
Yeah, this ain't his grand final, I'll give you the tip.
Sorry, Marky, sorry. This
is not his grand final.
No, exactly. Is the Melbourne Cup the aim?
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. We've just got to wait and see. There is a race somewhere in the spring for him. He is qualified for the Melbourne Cup. He's passed the first ballot clause. But I'll just wait and see, and I'll let the horse do the talking there.
So listening to you, you'd hopefully see him sort of finishing off, hitting the line there pretty good on Saturday.
I think his best form, you know, has been over 1,800 or better.
Yeah.
And, look, the only race he's won at sort of below that's been a maiden. So I would think you would see him finishing off the race and you know, being quite happy with him doing that.
Yeah, okay. He's had a couple of jump outs.
He has had a couple of jump outs.
Yeah.
Last week's was very good. Last week was very good. He finished within a length of Chautauqua here at Flemington on the inside grass. So we were pretty
happy with that.
Pretty happy with that.
Yeah, okay. And James Winks, who rode the horse to win the Derby in Brisbane, stays on?
He does. He does. He's more than happy with the way the horse is going. We're all aware he has to take another step. But we're pretty hopeful that he has.
Yeah, let's hope so. We often see the Brisbane form, particularly with stayers, hold up. Just while I've got you, Cav, Chivalry, was it the first jump out last week?
Yes, Andrew.
Yeah.
He'll have another one this Friday, and then he resumes at the Valley on the 5th.
Okay. Is he coming back good?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. He's one of those that sort of promised you all the way, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, that's right. He's promised, but he once the pressure goes on, he hasn't actually delivered in the better races. His first two runs each preparation have been his best.
Mm.
So we'll sort of train him a little bit different this preparation and see where we go from there.
Okay. All right. Well, we look forward to seeing Magic Cool. Listening to you, you're keen to get him back, but we'll watch for his 1,800-plus better when he gets to that distance.
I think so, Andrew.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot, Cav.
Good luck.
Mark Cavanagh there, the trainer of Magic Cool, who lines up on Saturday in the Memsie. As I said, there were 26 entries when they closed yesterday. An order of entry has come out. The horses that I know are running in the order of entry are Faulkner, Happy Trails, Boban, Temple of Boom, Dandino, who will be ridden by the Jumps jockey, and flat rider John Allen. John Allen will ride Dandino on Saturday. Smoke and Joey, Rising Romance, Sartorius, Weary, Volk Stock and Barrel, Magic Cool, Prince of Penzance, a question mark. Entirely Platinum will run Petrology runs, High World runs. Then we're getting a bit nervous. Centennium for Shane Fleetner will probably run. Let's Make a Deal probably squeezes in. Stratum Star, Treviere, Desert Journey are really vulnerable in getting a start. And so too is Charmed Harmony, who sits number 24 in the Memsie order of entry. Unlikely to get a start at number 24. It's likely to go to the Dardo 10 Chin Nam at Moonee Valley, according to John Sadler this morning. So a bit to play out with the Memsie. I hope that helps you, because there is markets open for the Memsie and the Run to the Rose at tab.com.au. It's 23 to 10.